Hello and welcome to the Record Swappers. My name is Gabriel.
And I'm Viking.
Yay, we're back! A little late, but we're back. Starting off the new year with the best of ways.
Well, we'll get new stuff, and with new stuff comes new problems.
With new stuff comes new responsibilities that you don't know about yet.
I thought you were gonna go into a Final Frontier spiel, like... We face the final frontier.
To boldly go where no one has gone before. Yeah. So Viking is talking
about... podcasting equipment.
Exactly. What Viking is talking about, we have some boom mics, some new mics, a new little audio box. We got new shit. Hopefully the technical difficulties will stop. Bad. Yeah. Bad stuff.
Yeah, we had some interference also.
Yeah, exactly. It was the spirits crossing over. But we're back. We're gonna talk about Fiona Apple and her fetching of the bolt cutters today. But first, and always, we're gonna start off with some black artist recommendations.
Yes.
Viking.
Yes. So my pick for this week is Catherine Russell. She is a New Yorker. And the music royalty, kind of. Her father was the late Louis Russell. That was a pianist, composer, and a band leader, and also Louis Armstrong's longtime musical director. and her mother was Colin Ray, who is a vocalist, guitarist, and bassist.
That bass player.
The bassist.
Yeah.
The bassist of them all.
You want to be the best of them all.
She played, like, through her career, she played like people like David, with people like David Bowie, Cyndi Lauper, Paul Simon, Steely Dan, Jackson Brown, and so on, so on. She appeared on over 200 albums. And since 2006, she pretty much have done her own music. And she releases some albums. She also done some soundtrack work. She appears on with a song on the Boardwalk Empire soundtrack, and also on the fabulous bad movie Kill Your Darlings. And yeah, that's pretty much her. Go listen to her.
Yes. She has a cool sound.
Yeah. What do you have?
So I have a... I actually found it. So on her about page, it says she's a storyteller and an artist, which sounds much better than what I had. So I'm talking about Baia Watson, B-A-H-I-A, and then Watson. I did it. I spelled correctly for once.
Like Sherlock's friends?
Exactly.
Yeah, good.
But she is most knownly probably as an actress, and she's been in Handmaid's Tale, The Expanse, Star Trek, and some other stuff.
Still, you can't say say Star Trek.
Star Trek. Like the Star Trek.
Yeah, the 2009 movie?
Yeah, all the Star Treks.
Yeah, okay. She was back in the 60s?
Yeah, of course. Okay. She's a time traveler.
Okay.
I mean, technically, the show Discovery takes place at the same time almost as... So, I mean, if you want to get... But we're not here. This is not a Star Trek podcast.
Well,
but she is also an artist in the way of video performance, spoken word, and music. So we're going to link those two people down in the doobly-doo down below for all you old schoolers out there. If Viking knows, he knows. But I don't think he knows.
No, I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah. I'm too old for this shit. And speaking of old, Viking, how are you doing today? The segue into the small talk.
Well, I'm old.
Back in my day.
No, actually, I had some colleagues at work, like, ask me what age I was, and then, like, oh, then we are the oldest, because they're in their 40s or something like that. So,
I always get people who are amazed and astounded by my age, because everybody thinks I look younger.
Yeah.
Because I look like a smaller boy.
Yeah, I look like a 12-year-old.
Yes, no, but not. You know, I have what we call baby face syndrome, where you look like you're always young, and you look the same from since you were young. It is a curse in my family.
Oh, poor you.
Poor me. So I am. Somebody thought I looked 21, and I just had my birthday, and I'm not 21. I'm closer to 30. So.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I'm doing good. I just saw a couple, a little show called The Mandalorian and another one called The WandaVision.
WandaVision!
So that meant so many episodes that are out. And it was really fun. One of my favorite actors, new favorite actors, is in Mandalorian. And one of my other favorite actors is in WandaVision. So it was a happy ride. Paul Yong-Song Lee from was in Mandalorian as an X-Wing pilot, and he's so cool. He's famous from Mr. Kim's Convenience, which is a really good, funny show to watch. So everybody who hasn't seen Kim's Convenience, oh, recommend. And then I've talked about Fresh Off the Boat, and the actor from Fresh Off the Boat who plays the dad is in Ant-Man and also WandaVision as the FBI guy. You know him, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He plays Jimmy Woo or James Woo.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
James
Woo. I thought you were... for a second, I thought he was playing a dad in the show. And I was like...
Yes, I mean, he talks about wanting to be a dad in...
Yeah, but I was like... No, no, I think the download dad is...
Randall Park, that's it. I love Rob. Oh, yeah. And he's so good. So this is a short, like, petition list, but I want Paul Yong-Song Lee to play in the upcoming Airbender, Avatar: The Last Airbender TV show as the uncle, and I want Randall Park to be in it too.
Guess we're starting a petition.
Yes, we're doing it. So that's the small talk, I guess, the smallest of talks. About our... glorious lives, adventuring, going on, you know, trips to the Bahamas, spelunking into caves, you know, that James Bond lifestyle.
I was like, you only talked about yourself, and then you're like, oh, we're done with talking
about
this.
There's only one person on this podcast. You're just a figment of my imagination, and I fill you in by doing your voice in post credits. And you're not an actual person.
No, thank you.
You're one of those Instagram AI bots. But you just look so real in the picture.
But if I'm a figment of your imagination, why did you have to give me a job?
Well, it's just easier, you know. You know when you make a lie? The more details, the more accurate the lie. Mm-hmm. And the more believable the lie is.
Fine, I guess.
That's why you were born in 1988 on the 1st of April.
But I think...
April Fools, everyone. I don't know. Such a bad joke.
I also think the only reason why you gave me a job then is because you don't want to hang around me all the time.
Get away. You know.
Go to your job.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder, Viking. Yeah. Even for figments of the imagination.
I guess that's true.
Get off the couch, you lousy ghost. Get out of here, Casper. Oh, off the rails, as we always are. And speaking of the rails for this podcast, sometimes to get off the rails, you need some bolt cutters. And speaking about bolt cutters, don't you like my segues? They're like mastermind level.
Yeah.
So, a serious note, before we jump into this episode, we're going to get better at this, and it is... trigger warnings for albums and episodes. This album or our talk about the album may contain topics about depression, rape, and body complex and OCD and stuff like that. Yeah. So if that's something you want to shy away from, well, then you at least you know from at the top, or at least you're ready, and we'll try to get better at saying that before when we also hit up the next episode in the future.
Yeah, definitely.
But now... for a feature-length album. The Record Swappers. Swapping at you. No, actually, that's our own record that we're producing it right now.
Yeah. Did you forget the thing again?
No. It's just new. I'm actually taking up the website right now.
Okay,
good. So it's the 6 Degree game or the 6 Separations game. which we've been starting. I've been writing it into the podcast template structure so I will remember it, and I still almost forgot it. And that is the separation between the last artist and the current artist of this day's episode. Yeah. Which was, the last artist was Fantastic Negrito, and today's episode is about Fiona Apple. So we have to see how, according to whose sample, they are connected. Yes. Viking probably has another guess. And I know another way they could be connected, except for the Who Sampled world. But Who Sampled only takes samplings.
I have a fun connection that, like, won't show up on Who Sampled, because it's kind of like a more factual connection.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, so Fantastic Negrito sang Across the Universe by the Beatles for his child, and that was kind of how he came into playing music again.
What you were gonna say? That's how his child came into being, from his his vocal talent. Just it's like Diana in Wonder Woman, you know, created from sand.
Yeah.
Fantastic Negrito created his child from the sound barrier.
Yeah, thrown across the universe. He sang that song for his child for a year, and also Fiona Apple has done a cover of Across the Universe by the Beatles, so there's a connection.
Yes, and there's probably a connection when we get more into the album's personally, I feel.
Yeah.
But when it comes to Who Sampled, it is a separation of 4 degrees.
Yes.
And the degrees are... Fantastic Negrito was sampled by... An Honest Man by Fantastic Negrito was sampled by Gloss by Eripe. Eripe and Nastique are both members of Patocalypsa. And of course, their song Stare Shenamoziki by Nastique was sampled by One Love featuring Q-Tip. And Black Sheep's Bird of a Feather featuring Q-Tip sampled The Way Things Are by Fiona Apple. The weirdest of all... It's weird because I know 3 names, and one of them is Q-Tip, and the rest are the Fantastic Negrito and Fiona Apple. So, not many names known to me, so...
Yeah, but I think that's our longest, like...
Yeah, and also the most European.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, I guess that's one way of doing it. I wish that this... either we ourselves or our fans are like computer engineers and can take every person who's ever worked like as a mixer, a recorder, you know, and then like do a full hub.
Yeah.
Because Who Sampled is good, but you don't get all of them because I feel like there's more.
I kind of just like want the spider web, like of like all the different people, and like you can click around and
like, yeah, that would be fun.
See every connection.
So we just have to become computer software engineers and build an AI to, you know, extrapolate that.
It's just to write the algorithm. Yeah. It's fine.
Just like Childish Gambino's algorithm. It's all connected. Speaking of connection.
We start with that.
Exactly. That's our sentence in. And speaking of connections, let's talk about our connection to Fiona Apple. Before this episode, I had no connection to Fiona Apple. Did you, Viking?
No, not really. Like, I heard the name, like, I knew about this album.
I did not know anything. Then some deep dives gave me like, oh, she's done stuff for a TV show or a movie and stuff like that. Then, so in that way, I've heard her voice, but not more than that. So let's talk a little about Fiona Apple as a person. If there's anything fun. Is there anything fun you want to say, Viking? And I'll scroll to my notes here.
Okay. I have a little fun fact that's kind of record swapper later related.
So this is basically like a 6 degree insert right here.
Yeah, I mean like... So there was this kind of... what do we call it? Support from... all kind of different artists for supporting with masks for benefits for indigenous communities in America, and the part of and some of the people that were a part of this donation or what you the support or what you call it
Yeah. Support.
The support. The support.
They were supporting the support.
It was Fiona Apple, Kim Gordon of the Sonic Youth, and Fleet Foxes.
All people I know personally, but good friends.
Yeah.
They're all here in my contact list. See, you can see, right? All cameras.
No, but I just thought that was a fun thing that all of them have kind of come together.
But Fiona Apple, also fun fact, also has a connection to another episode, technically, that we have done.
Oh.
She went to a certain high school called the Alexander Hamilton High School, her sophomore year of. So, I mean, technically, she has a connection to Alexander Hamilton. In a way.
Connecting all the dots.
Yeah, I mean, she's an interesting person. I feel like the only thing I can tell you now is like a lot of her life stories we're going to get into when talking about the music. But I thought that it was really cool that when her first album was released at the age of 17, she won her first Grammy. And then after that, she's been nominated 11 times after. And I'm loving it. That's not what you...
Word.
Yeah, exactly. Her albums since then, like a lot of her songs, have reached the top 15 on the US charts in these 4 decades that she has been doing this. Somehow she's 40. I don't understand how, but she is.
Yeah, I mean, like, time moves.
Time is elastic.
Yeah. Scary enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like I said, we're probably gonna get into more of her life stories when we get into the songs. So let's get into some album talk.
Yeah, definitely.
So Fetch the Bolt Cutters is a very interesting album because it's been worked on like for a lot of years. What do you say, like, process to how she does music is very interesting.
Yeah, I mean,
like that she starts and stops, or when she hits a wall, she kind of, like, lets it go.
But lets it...
Simmer.
Simmer, yeah.
Because since her last album came out in 2012, and this came out now, it's 8 years between... And she hasn't worked on the album maybe fully during those 8 years, but that's so interesting that she has such a long time span. And some people, when you go into the Fiona Apple verse, a lot of people have been like waiting for it. Yeah. So it must be crazy to be like a fan of hers and just like, when is it going to come?
Yeah, and also like when you work of that long on the album and with those songs, as we're going to get into, the kind of like the meaning changes a bit.
Yeah, it's very interesting. This album, most of it has been work from 2015 to 2020, mostly in her own home studio or like just in her apartment / home.
Yeah.
When you kind of look at the information, there are some mentions of like home studio and then bunny quotes home studio around it.
Yeah.
Like it was kind of improvised, which really gives me a cool vibe. Like we've talked about before with the whole Billie Eilish and stuff.
We're going to get into it, but kind of like she talks about like one song they kind of like crammed into the corner of her living room and just sang it pretty much.
Yeah. There's a lot of special stuff on this album. And when we talked about this when we did our top 10, but I think the first thing you notice, especially listening to the first song, is just that there is something you would say has an feeling of kind of randomness or like weirdness to it. That there's some cool takes that go on too long or short or like sounds that are in. And we're going to get into that. But when we listen to it for our top 10, that's one reason why I wanted to pick it for now and talk about those different sounds because it's so cool.
Yeah, definitely.
And that she used a lot of different instruments for this album, a lot of them that we found at home, or she found at home, which is really cool. And I want to talk about some of those instruments by also talking about who is on this album, except for Fiona Apple, because some people play. So we have Fiona Apple on most songs doing... Are you ready for this one?
It's gonna be the V word.
Vocals, piano, Casio drums, percussion, claps, backing vocals, drums, mellotron, metal butterfly, yeah, electronic drums, timpani, a Wurlitzer, a Casio, bells, and of course also playing the most important instrument of all, which is a chair.
Yeah.
And then we have Sebastian Steinberg playing the bass, drums, percussion, claps, guitar on guitar, backing vocals, electric, alto harp, acoustic, 12 strings. Damn it, I tried. Slide guitar, lighter on Wurlitzer, which if you Google it, you get a literal lighter somebody.
Yeah.
That's made by the Wurlitzer company. Also, a harp thing, stomps, breathing, and breathing. I can't say it. Not breathing. The one where you do it with your breath.
But that's the same.
No, not breathe. I was saying breathing.
Yeah, but...
No.
It's breathing.
No, it's breathing.
Breathing.
Okay, Viking doesn't.
Breathing. Breathing.
And also he Sebastian plays the water tower, of course, which is the your action, you know, he took an actual water tower and just like dun 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 dun.
A whole water tower.
Exactly. And okay. Amy Aileen Wood is on the drums, percussion, claps, loops, and also water tower, which is probably that they were singing in the water tower. And then we water got tower. One of the most important people, which is David Garza, who does percussion, claps, mellotron, guitar, vibes, backing vocals, electric guitar, Wurlitzer, piano, organ, and also he does a water tower.
And
they all brought their own water tower.
And also the art of the album.
Yeah, he does. So there are some amazing and random instruments on this album, and we're going to get into it. We have some additional musicians too, Viking.
Yeah.
And a lot of them go woof woof, and I'm not talking about DMX.
No,
it is dogs that bark.
Yeah,
which is really cool that they have a lot of random dogs, and some of the dogs are owned by friends of Fiona Apple. Let's see who else we got. We got some really cool recording/mixing people that I want to talk to you about.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to ask you: do you have anything about the personnel per se?
No, you go ahead.
So always when me and Viking find some cool artist or that has worked with a really cool engineer or mixing or mastering person, we have to get into it. Like, yeah, the whole spider web that we've been talking about. And we have the first one, which is Dave Way. And he has worked with... Who, baby? And... I know this is just me spouting out names, but this is fun for me, man. Sheryl Crow, Kesha, Pink, Christina Aguilera, Ringo Starr, Shakira, Savage Garden, Michael Jackson, Spice Girls, Norah Jones, Beck, Eric Clapton, Ziggy Marley, Weird Al Yankovic, Paul McCartney, Mick Jagger, Stevie Wonder, Gwen Stefani, Foo Fighters, TLC, Tony Braxton, Boyz II Men, and also Heavy D and The Boys.
I love how you, when you said Boyz II Men, that you made the two with your fingers.
It's Boyz II Men. And also, we have another amazing mastering person, and he is a master, Bob Ludwig. And we have talked about Bob Ludwig before. And we're going to get to how we've talked about Bob Ludwig. But Bob Ludwig has worked with Jimi Hendrix, Fish, Motley Crue, Megadeth, Metallica, Gloria Estefan, and here is one we've talked about, Nirvana, The Strokes, and another one we talked about, Queen. He's worked with Sting, The Police, Janet Jackson, Mariah Carey, Beck, Guns N' Roses, Tool, Simple Mind, Tori Amos, Leonard Cohen, David Bowie, Paul McCartney, Bruce Springsteen, The Bee Gees, Supertramp, Pet Shop Boys, Radiohead, Elton John, and Daft Punk.
Yeah. And I think he's most famous for working with Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Because there's something called the Ludwig cut.
I've heard about that too.
You can check it out. what is that goddamn podcast name? Vinyl?
Vinyl? Oh, what's... No, did we both...
I have it here. I can check
Vinyl
it.
Vinyl Genius, no?
No.
God.
That's not it. I have it just stole
from it. Vinyl Guide.
Yeah, the Vinyl Guide. He talks about the Bob Ludwig collection. Yeah. And I mean, these are like we talked about before with speaking of another Ludwig Göransson, who is also does music for another little pulling the strings. He did music for The Mandalorian. Which was really fun. But yeah, that these people are like behind the scenes and you don't see their names up front, even or like at the end of credits, you can see them or like, and this is like a, on the back of the album. And it's always cool. But when you dive deep, it's so cool to see who they've worked with. And it and this is what I was talking about with the 6 degrees. I feel like one of these persons you can connect to Fantastic Greedo so easily.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Probably.
Probably.
So, we have a lot to talk about when it comes to the album, but I think the best way of talking about it is with the songs.
Well, I have one thing before we go into the songs.
Yes, tell it to me, baby.
Or, yeah.
No, I will fix my audio disaster here.
So, on the record...
Swappers.
Fuck you.
Viking.
Yeah.
Would you say it on the record?
No, but on the physical record that we're talking about on the festival. Stop doing jokes.
No.
I'm serious.
No, this is an actual question I have. I've been watching TV shows where they say two things a lot.
Yeah.
And it's, oh, we got our wires crossed. Or can you say that on the record? And I'm like, who today, when it comes to young people, knows what getting wires crossed means and... Of course, putting it on a record. I feel like wires getting crossed is not as easy. Like, but, you don't understand it.
For the first, record is not a record, like a music record.
I know, but that's what I always think. Like, putting it on a record. Would you go on record?
Yeah, it's on the record.
Yeah, I know. It's a that you record stuff down where you're like, it's jotting information.
Or like a tape, like recorded at a journalist. Has.
Yeah, I know, but still.
So what I was wanting to talk about before you railroad me was that on the physical record of Fetch the Ball Cutters, there's a text, and the text says, "This album was made on unceded Tongva and Mescalero Apache and Suma territories." And so this was a thing she did with together with an organization, or a organization reached out to her and like talked to her and saw her interest in like wanting to highlight land. That's the other one.
Like the reserves and stuff where they live.
But what land it was recorded on. Just to highlight. And I actually have a quote from Apple saying, "So I wanted to acknowledge the lands. How are we going to be able to heal and join communities and be respectful of each other if we can't acknowledge the simple truth that this is not our land? Not acknowledging this is nothing less than disrespectful." And I thought that was a nice gesture of her to do.
No, but I agree. It is an important conversation to have, I would say also. So.
Yeah.
And also, if you think about it, it leads into a another stuff that not a lot of musicians that I think she likes and or admire, like this whole like, this land is my land, this land is your land, that people that came before her has talked about.
Yeah.
Like, so that it leaves up gives a way to an interesting discussion, I would say.
Yes.
And speaking of an interesting discussion, I want to hear your first impressions.
Yes. I guess you kind of heard my first impressions already.
But I want to see how more impressed of the first you are.
No, but so in our top 10 of 2020, I talked about my first impressions kind of, and I kind of talked about the whole like it kind of feels like a musical aspect of this album. I don't know if I still agree with that.
Because you have more information now, or?
No, but like listening more to it. But still, there's a couple of songs I still kind of get a feeling from, but not as much anymore. But yeah, I mean, I like the album. It's a fantastic album.
I agree. I mean, I have some of the same thoughts and feelings, but just more nuanced now, which I think is bound to happen. And I just really love all the odd cuts, all the like realness to it. Like I said during our 2020 top 10, like the feeling of trying to control the chaos but also embracing it at the same time with all these stuff, I really love it. And I just feel like her voice is very real, and even though it's very emotional sometimes, it's very cozy somehow, very reassuring.
Yeah, but there was like all the things she adds to her album kind of makes it feel make it feel like kind of like homemade, like not the homemade as like it's recorded at home, but like
homey feeling, like
but like the way you like knit the sweater, it's like
Lived in is also a way of saying it, I think. I really like it. And we'll have to get into it, I feel like. So let's go to the first song.
Yeah.
Viking, I want you to love me.
Yeah, but that's never gonna happen.
Okay, but Viking, I want you to love me. Can I just say before, I was singing to the album. Singing to this song is so hard because you're like out of breath, but also you don't know where the rhythm is all the time. Yeah. So you're like, oh my God, I'm offbeat. But kind of is kind of fun trying to sing with something that, all you know, where you embrace the mistakes.
Yeah.
But this song, man, the piano and the song.
Yeah.
I sent you a video of where she plays piano, and she has like an opened piano where you can see all the keys move, and it's so beautiful. And all the YouTube comments are like, Fiona Apple invented the piano. And I'm inclined to agree, because damn, the piano.
So I have a kind of a quote from Apple, kind of talking about like the thing I talked about before, like when you record, when you create over a long time, things changes. So she's saying, this started as a love song to somebody I hadn't met yet. Then I got back together with Jonathan Ames in 2015, and it became about him for a while. Then we broke up about a year later, so it wasn't about him anymore, which is how these things go. The song changed who they are about a lot. I think that's very like.
And I feel like that is a good way of also talking about not only this song, but the album kind of as a whole. That it is very like conjoined with life, because it's always changing.
Yeah,
which is nice. So it works well with our first impressions. I also want to talk about, like I was singing the love you part.
Yeah,
like how she sings the love you and emphasizes. Yeah. I really like it. And the ending of the song, how she kind of like shakes or vibrates her voice.
Yeah.
With the love you and the end is so like poignant somehow, like it really gives it a nice vibe.
Yeah, it kind of feels like some part of the song she sings with a clenched jaw.
Yeah,
and it's very interesting.
It's not for this album, I think, but I found some interview where she's like maybe up for this and just in general talking about how she sings and just trying to be more open, singing in what we kind of don't know, but also know, which is chest voice and head voice, and this like how you form your mouth and teeth and stuff like that, which is really interesting. And like this song here, it kind of feels like she's singing with a vibrato in her voice, but also just vibrating her vocal cords, which is not a vibrato in a way too. Like it's really interesting.
Yeah, it's very like.
And it gives like this thrumming, humming, Tibetan throat singing-y, and it comes up in a couple other songs.
Yeah, it creates a very interesting sound for sure.
I also want to talk about one lyric, which is, "And while I'm in this body, I want somebody to want, and I want what I want, and I want you to love me." I just really like that it's very human to want to be loved and want to have that, but also that it's somehow very egocentric at the same time, which is kind of fun.
Yeah,
I really like the aspect of those feelings.
Yeah, I also really like the intro and outro. There's a very interesting outro, intro with the, like, that kind of sounds like a dial tone to me, and then the outro is kind of her singing in a very like chaotic way, and it's I don't even know how to begin making those noises.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah,
but Viking. You have potential. Shemika always said you had potential.
Yeah.
Shemika is the second song. And this song, without talking about the song, just out from this song, this has an amazing story behind it. And what's happened because of this song now is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you have the story, Viking?
I have some of the story, but if you want to like tell the whole...
No, I don't have the whole. But basically, this... This is based on a true story by Fiona Apple. So it is a girl in her school that, according to her, that she didn't even know or like hanged with, just approached her when she was trying to, Fiona Apple was going to sit or try to be with the popular girls. And Shemika came up, and what Fiona remembers saying, "You have potential, don't waste it on those."
The actual quote is, "Why are you trying to sit with those girls? You have potential."
Yeah, and it's so cool that even though, like we were talking about now, she's 40 and maybe she's not remembering it like how you would remember it, but it's still like a very cool memory. And now the person that is Shemika has come out and made an Instagram and has actually made her own song where Fiona Apple is on it, which is really cool. So Shemika Stepney is her name, I feel, if I remember correctly, which is like just fun. And she's talking about like just the this Shemika seems to like just talk about love and a lot of like connection between humans and how somebody she hasn't heard from such a long time now just like remembers her. And it's so cool. And it's also cool hearing Fiona Apple talk about, like, some people say Shemika was a bully, but when you look at the picture, she looks like a nice girl. And just, hearing her recollect is beautiful.
Yeah.
But we have to talk about the song. We can't just talk about the story.
Yeah, I have another story that's related to the song that I want to tell, because it's just fantastic.
Okay, but can we get into just saying the music in this song is so amazing.
The piano has it has its own life, pretty much. Yeah.
I wrote that it's like a storm in a way. Like it's ever-changing. It like comes in waves, and it's so good.
Definitely.
And the sentiment, like I was saying with the story, is so beautiful. And like, even if you don't know the person, sometimes you just need somebody to come up to you and be real with you and tell you like the facts. This is how it is, or like, this is what you deserve, or, you know, like being real with somebody is a nice sentiment. Yeah. What do you have?
So, I'm going to go into the story if that's okay. So,
yes. Story time, yay! Bedtime story, yay!
So, kind of in an article, Fiona Apple explained the origin of the line, "Sebastian said, I am a good man in a storm." And that comes from, her bassist and the bassist.
Yes, Sebastian Steinberg.
Yeah, Sebastian Steinberg said that when they were in Marla, Texas. Marfa, Texas. So they almost got arrested for weed possession. So they got pulled over by a cop car, and Sebastian was smoking from an apple. That's the ironic part in this whole thing. He was smoking from an apple in the back, and Fiona Apple describes how she got kicked into control mode and was like, "Well, David has brown skin, so he cannot be holding the pot, and Sebastian has long hair and long beard, and he cannot be the one holding the pot. I'm the little white girl. I need to be holding the pot." So I said, Sebastian, eat the apple now and give me the pot. And I put it in my sock, and he ate the disgusting apple really fast. And then they got us out of the car, and they had a drug dog with them. And they brought it out of the car, and she had a weed in the sock, and they were too busy talking with the brown man and the hippie guy, and didn't notice the drug dog really was really into her sock. And they were like, oh, she's a white girl. It doesn't matter. The dog just likes her. And they just wanted to get the guys into trouble. Anyway, we got through that situation. So that's why Sebastian said to me, I was like, oh, thank you.
So Fiona is the good man in a storm.
Yeah.
The one person you want.
It's a fantastic
story. But it also works with like the whole, like I was saying, with the storm of the piano.
Yeah.
It has like... this, if you imagine that scene in a movie, like it's very like tension filled, and it, you get chased, and then it slows down, and it's suspenseful. So it really does work. It grounds this the song, but also gives it so much more life. But now we have to talk about the title song, which is "Fetch the Bolt Cutters,"
and kind of the central theme of this album.
Yeah. Which is very fun that we've both, you and me, taken albums from our top 10 in general, which was the point, but also albums that have with kind of the quarantine feeling to do, even if it wasn't meant to be about the quarantine feeling. That's what it gives away.
No.
Yeah. And that is Fetch the Bolt Cutters. And in this song, basically, without going into more, but fetching the bolt cutters and getting out, but we're going to get into more. I just want to talk about Cara Delevingne being on the background vocals. Mm. And there's a certain reason for that. And that is that this is a quote from a show called The Affair with Gillian Jacobs, where she says, "Fetch the bolt cutters."
Yeah.
Funny spider, what's it called? Interwoven thing. Mm. I'm watching a thing on Disney Plus that is directed by Gillian Jacobs. Everything's interconnected today. Fiona wanted somebody who had a British dialect to do the Fetch the Bolt Cutters. And it's very fun to hear her do some singing.
Yeah, and it's also interesting because like, the album was supposed to be called Fetch the Bolt Cutter before this song was even created.
Can you say that again, Viking?
The album was going to be called Fetch the Bolt Cutters before, like, the song existed, pretty much. I didn't know why you had me repeat.
I had you repeat it because audio problems, maybe.
Okay, maybe.
But that's not for you, dear listener, to care about.
Okay.
Viking, you have to understand the emotion in my eyes. We have to figure out the secret podcast language.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, like, how she, like... Oh, we're done. We've written all the songs from this album. And then she was like, no, wait, hold on. We're not done yet. I got another one. And
another one.
Yeah, and she kind of wrote this. And she kind of said a lot is, like, this became kind of like the centerpiece of the album, in a sense, and talking about like how you want to break out of a prison and that you allowed yourself to live in.
Yeah, whether you built that prison for yourself or whether it was built around you and you just accepted it. The message in the whole record is just fetch the fucking bolt cutters and get yourself out of the situation you're in, whether it is that you don't like.
Oh my god, it's like we have the same notes.
Yeah, exactly. But also, speaking of notes, speaking about the song,
The
ambiance in the song.
Yeah.
And the, and all around it, with it really grounds the song and makes it real, like a couple of woof-woofs in it.
Woof-woofs.
Woof-woofs. And the lyrics also of this song is amazing. I've written down some lyrics.
I have a favorite one.
Do it.
So my favorite line is, I grew up in these shoes, they told me I could feel shoes that were not made to running up the that hill.
Mm.
Yeah, that's pretty
much. I like the line, I grew up in the shoes they told me I could fill, and when they came around, I would stand real still.
Yeah.
A girl can roll her eyes and me and kill. I got the idea I wasn't real.
Yeah.
It's got so much emotion.
Yeah, definitely.
And also the lyric, I listened because I hadn't found my own voice yet, so all I could hear was the noise that people make when they don't know shit, but I didn't know that yet. And that line, that lyric really corresponds with me, and I think a lot of people, but especially like the growing up teenager years, like finding your voice, but also for me being the youngest of a lot of boys and having a big age gap and always have to get your voice in the conversation. So that line really resonates with me. And speaking of lines, Viking, I don't want you to kick me under the table. So let's talk about...
But I'm still going to kick you under the table.
Let's talk about the song Under the Table. Can we just talk about the intro of the song and the bridge?
Oh, yeah.
I would beg to disagree, but begging disagrees with me.
Yeah, I get that.
Like that...
I had that written down also.
It's so good, that repetition of that. Yeah. And also how it's sung is so good. What you got about the song, Viking?
I mean, I love this song. It's very simple in a sense, but also very like on point and very like smartly put.
Yeah, but it's also like going on that is what like I was saying, and we were saying about this, I would beg to disagree. Like that's very soft spoken in the beginning, and then it gets angrier and swells, and the music goes up, and it's very like smart but also easy.
Yeah.
If like a lot of musicians would think about that, like, oh, let's make it swell because you're getting up from your seat and you can't kick me on the table, I won't shut up. But it has such a good theme and feeling to it. I love it.
Yeah, and like also like it's really inspired from a dinner she had with like some people, and it was kind of that dinner when you shouldn't speak up, and she spoke up. And as she says. And may have messed the dinner up a little bit, but I was right.
But also, I mean... Yeah.
And it is the right thing.
You have the freedom of speech, use it.
Definitely.
I also like how playful it is and like mocking.
Yeah,
definitely. Like it kind of changes melodies with kick me under the table all you want, I won't show up. Or something like it has like a playful kids melody, like the ice cream truck melody.
Yeah. Yeah, but also like the whole wordplay thing kind of leans into that also. Like, there's a playfulness and a seriousness with the song, both at the same time, which is really interesting.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
And speaking about, you know, not only kicking somebody under the table, Viking, but sometimes you have to pass somebody to it, somebody else. And that is a relay.
Yeah.
And I want to relay you some information, and that is that this song is a bop.
Yeah, it's a fantastic song.
It always gets stuck in my head. I talked about that on the top 10, but evil is a relay sport when the ones who's burned turns to pass the torch.
And do you know how old she was when she wrote that line?
How old?
She was 15.
Oh, well, how old are you, Viking? Are you, how many 15s are you? Like, I'm 23, 15s.
No, but like, she has this funny quote about this. It's like, she says, it's funny because the 15-year-old me wrote the deeper lyric, the evil is a relay sport thing, and the 42-old me wrote the fuck you to everybody out there acting like your lives are perfect.
Yeah, I resent you for being tall. That's you, Viking. I resent you for being tall because I'm not as tall as you.
Yeah.
I also like the line, but I know if but I know if I'd hate you for hating me, I will have entered the endless race. Yeah. It's like the whole an eye for that, an eye makes the whole world go blind. I like that.
Yeah, it would like you kind of like when you hate an enemy, those people, you kind of get swept up in the whole thing, and then you,
and that is very timely for in general, but especially what has happened in the whole 2020 verse and going over now to 2021. that is what we've talked about with Black Lives Matter, what that some people get angry and hateful, but it's better to have a discussion if possible. There was another thing I wanted to talk to you about this song, but I can't remember.
Well, she should have written it down.
But no, stop hating me. I don't want to get into it. But I guess we'll just keep on relaying to that rack of his.
Yeah.
Look at that rack of his.
Yeah, I love this punny name.
It's very funny.
And the name comes from like a joke David Garza apparently made. And it was supposed to be called I Did Terrible Things to That Rack of His, which I kind of would like that better. If
yes, it... yeah. But I do like this too. I mean, and it the story about behind it, according to her, and what I myself feel from the stories you find, doesn't always like recollect. Because there's a story about there's a lyric here like, meanwhile I'm loving you so much and it's the only reason I gave my time to you, and that's it. The kick you in you what is it? The that's the kick in you giving up because you know you won't like it when there's nothing to do. Like there's a story about her being with a certain significant other and then getting dragged into a room, not forcefully, but like maybe feeling that she was like, I have to come here, and then some romantic adult stuff happened in the room, and she talks about that in the lyrics, and even according to her she says like, oh, this song is not about me, but when you listen to her story about that's that life event that happened to her, and then you listen to the song, it's really, you can like feel, and it gives the and very much emotional weight to a lot of the lyrics.
Yeah.
And the chorus is just powerful. I really like it. I like the jokes of also about like the rack of his and the guitar necks and eager fillings. The like women are lining up like eager fillings or like legs of rockets in a line and just waiting to open their legs for that person. It's got some beautiful but also... not sad, but like, you know what I mean. Like certain imagery that is not positive. It's interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
Viking, have you ever read a newspaper? Do you even read those now?
Well, I read it, like 500 years ago.
But I read this newspaper with my ears because this is the song Newspaper.
Yeah. And she doesn't even know why it's called the newspaper.
Yeah. But did you know that her sister sings on this song as a backing vocalist?
Yeah, that I didn't know.
Oh my God, you did? Well, my job is done. Bye.
Yeah, I know everything.
But what do you mean about the song wasn't... she doesn't know why it was named Newspaper?
Well, she mentioned like... she didn't know why it's called Newspaper, but it just kind of like she made the percussions for this song, and then for some reason that file was named Newspaper, and that's kind of how it...
you know, it's like that game where you're lying to somebody about your name and you have to pick out some random stuff in the room. My name's ceiling doorknob. Yes, that's me. That's me. You know,
exactly.
That's kind of like, she probably saw a newspaper. But the song. Oh, God. The forceful vocals, like how she sings, with, and the story, when it comes, the lyrics, like how, not the real story, but like the lyric story that is painted up in this song, and how she sings is really good.
Yeah.
And I love the line, and you're wearing time like a flowery crown.
Yeah.
And how she sings it. Oh, it's so good.
It has a very atmospheric intro with like the dogs and the clinking and clanking. And
the metal butterfly, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. You don't know. It is not credited on this song.
No, but I know.
You don't know.
You'd never know. With Fiona Apple and this album, you never know what's on what.
Or maybe it's the saucepan from that alley.
Yeah. Or maybe it's her dead dog bones that she has in a can. You know, she plays some weird and interesting instruments.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you can call it instruments, but yeah, sure.
Everything is an instrument, Viking. Whatever you want to make, a sound with is an instrument if you can use it correctly.
You can make an instrument of you.
Of your dead body. I don't know how we're going to segue to this, but let's talk about the ladies in our lives, which is the song Ladies.
Yeah.
Can we just say that her sister is yet again back on the backing vocals, and she has a really good voice.
Yeah, and like their harmonies are flawless.
It's really good. And also Viking. Yeah. The most important thing is, who runs the world? Women. Ladies. You know the song, Who Runs the World? And then it goes girls, but it's not girls. It's ladies. Also, the her talking about like her... This is kind of the same we were talking about William Shatner doing the parumpa pump pump differently every time.
Yeah.
She does ladies in a certain style every time. And I found a live video where she sings it in like 2017 or something. And she does the ladies differently. And she goes into this very high-pitched... like squeal that almost dogs can hear, and does ladies, 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 and it's so cool how she twists it every time.
I have like an interview where she says like, I really like the word ladies, and then she goes into a lot of different ways to sing ladies, ladies, ladies.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
But also this like kind of call and response it gives you. Mm-hmm. It's like ladies, 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 I have a message for you, and then just like keeps going on that. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is a special message for you. And I like that.
Yeah, definitely.
I also like the lyric, nobody can replace anybody else, so it would be a shame to make it a competition. And no love is like any other love, so it would be insane to make a comparison with you. I really like that. And it kind of takes up this comparison stuff that we actually didn't talk about on the song... Under the Table, where she talks about like putting your life on like a propaganda brochure in that song. And here you're like talking about comparison, but in the sense of love maybe, or because the man in the story has had many lovers. Well, like her talking about how we compare each other all the time, and that message is really good. I like it.
Yeah.
I also like Balloons Viking, but especially heavy balloons.
Well, that's opposite of the balloons I like. Okay. So I like them floating.
I like them floating. A heavy balloon. I love the imagery of this. This just the title itself and what it gives.
Yeah. So we can get into the imagery, because I have a quote from her saying, "The imagery of that one of this song came to me years ago, because a boyfriend of mine was talking to me about his father and his depression. The way he was describing his father moving around the house, being weighed down by something, made me think. We're just always trying to keep it up. Oh my God, this is not staying off me long enough. I just can't really move around, and it's this hindrance, the obligation, and the constant thing that to be taken care of." And that's like with the heavy balloon.
Do you want to know a weird image I get from this song sometimes?
Yeah.
It is the Disney/Pixar movie Up. Because I think if I remember correctly, there's in some scene where they tie balloons to themselves.
Yeah.
And if you think about the story of the main character, the old man, and him and his wife and that, and his like heavy balloon, like his story and like his sadness from his wife and then going on to this mission. So this song kind of gives me that imagery sometimes, which is... really funny in some ways. Like how my mind works. I want to talk about the chorus. I love the chorus. And I want to talk about the I spread like strawberries, I climb like peas and beans, where that comes from. And I also have quotes, baby.
Oh my God. Bring out the quotes.
Instead of a rap battle, let's have a quote battle. Who can quote most?
Who can quote Fiona Apple the most?
Exactly. So... Fiona Apple said, because strawberries are rhizomes, and so they grow in this network sideways, and peas and bees, they climb up. You can put them on trellises and stuff. I'm sure they probably grow in other ways too. But that was just a little fact I thought was very, very cute and uplifting. And like, I'm all right, it's okay, don't worry about it. I'm like strawberries, I'm going to spread myself out and take over this whole garden. And she found that in a children's book that she had.
Yeah, cool.
And I just like that it's talking about that we all are different, or we can go out on our own path and in a own way. Like, you can go up, you can go sideways, you can go both. It's really nice.
Yeah.
I also really love the lyric, people like us get so heavy and so lost sometimes. So lost and so heavy that the bottom is the only place we can find. You get dragged down to the same spot enough times in a row, the bottom begins to feel like the only safe place that you know. Such a deep, deep lyric. So emotional, so strong. And that's talking a lot about, I think, the depression that we kind of trigger warned earlier, like her depression and somewhat maybe stuff that's happened to her. And it's a very cool way of thinking about it and the aspect of the song. I like it. But I also like going to space, Viking. And I don't want to be an astronaut, because I want to be cosmonauts with you.
Yes, cosmonauts.
I had this great segue and you're like, yeah, sure, sure, Gabriel. Yeah.
Sorry, whatever. I was reading ahead and I got this.
Whatever bullshit you're saying.
Yeah.
So, comrade, talk to me about being cosmonauts.
So, cosmonauts, she wrote that for Judd Apatow.
No, Judd Apatow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry.
How dare you?
For some reason, I'm seeing T's and F's as L's today. Yeah. But, yeah.
Judd Apatow.
Yeah. 2012 movie, This Is 40. She had recorded it with John Bryan for the movie, but they didn't end up using it. And so they kind of re-recorded it for this album and put a bunch of different vocals on it.
I just want to say, Paul Rudd is in This Is 40 and he plays Ant-Man now. So all the Marvel connections.
Okay. She... It's kind of funny that she thought this was a very challenging song, or like the challenge for her to write this song for that that movie was that it was gonna be a song that like was about two people who were going to be together forever, and that was a song she wasn't really equipped to write because she like don't want to be together with somebody forever.
Or can't imagine herself.
Can't imagine, yeah. And then, so she kind of interpreted it as like, it's going to be you and me in this little vessel by ourselves in space, except it's going to be way a lot more. And you're going to be really, you're going to really get on my nerves. So that's kind of where this song grew from. Yeah, that's the words. I got the words.
You got the words out.
Yeah, baby.
I like the song. It's so cute and playful, with a really lovely and imagery to the song. Yeah. And it has a very nice feeling. I like the, of course, the main line, you and I will be like a couple of cosmonauts, except with way more gravity than we started off. Like that the weight of the gravity increases with heavier over time, like you said, which is, and that's how a lot of relationships work. You know, you get more serious, hopefully, a lot of relationships. You get married, you get a dog, you get a Volvo and 1.5 kids and a white house in Sweden, right? That's how it works.
Yeah.
Or a golden retriever or a white Labrador. Those are the stats for Sweden's life, the idyllic life. But I just like the imagery of it, and also this you and me being you and me, Viking, being stuck together and have to depend on each other. Not only like you're gonna get annoyed and you're gonna love each other, but like have to depend on each other for this ride. You got anything more to say, or else we're gonna go to the next song?
Yeah, no, but I like in this song she has like very like nice blend of like hard and rough vocals with soft vocals and goes like kind of back and forth.
Yeah,
And it's kind of like this start and stop song, which is I kind of like those start and stop songs.
That's kind of how some relationships work.
Yeah.
Like if you even if you don't fight a lot, sometimes you go to a slow point and then romance kicks in again, or like you bought me flowers and dinner this time, Viking. Thank you. You know all the jokes, but yeah, it's very beautiful, and I want to speak of something beautiful but also sad at the same time, and that's the next song, which is For Her.
Yeah.
And this is one of the songs we have trigger warned for, so yeah, if you know, you know. But this is an amazing song, and I feel like we should start out with asking Fiona Apple what she thinks. Fiona Apple says about this song, and this is kind of intercut with some other stuff, but the track's depiction... Oh, wait. I'm a liar. These are not Fiona Apple's words. These are Wikipedia's words about Fiona Apple's words. So they might sound a little weird. But the track depicts a man who is abusing a woman without her permission.
Yeah.
And Fiona Apple said that a friend of hers who worked as an intern at the film production company was assaulted by this man.
good time.
The song addresses the man on behalf of the friend, in Apple's words, in a roundabout way, telling her story that she's not able to tell herself. But it also draws on her own experiences with her commenting. It started out me wanting to write something about my feelings, but it was just too hard. I wanted to make it about not just me, but about other people also. With that she was herself abused by a man at an early age, and that her friend and this intern had happened also. So it's a very heavy song.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's so weird to say these words, but I do love this song. When I first heard it, this is one of the reasons why this album sold me. I mean, this album sells me on so many levels, but when I was just chilling and listening for our top 10, and you don't have any lyrics on, and I was just playing Slay the Spire on my Switch and listening through albums, and this song goes through... Well, it's like three different songs in one with three different feelings, yeah, but also the same feeling at the same time. It's one cohesive world at the same time. It's so cool. And she kind of talks about how the ending is, like the multi-tracking of the chorus that she sings.
Yeah.
After multi-tracking the song, Fiona said like she wanted the final result to be uncompromising. She said, I want primary colors. I don't want any half measures.
No.
And I feel like in the end, in a lot of the song, you get so many different feelings. But when speaking about that multi-tracking, you get a lot of different feelings at the same time, and so many aspects.
It's like we kind of talked before with Under the Table. There's some playfulness here still with, but also like the it's also very serious, and it's like it's very jarring when you hear it the first time and like take in the lyrics.
Yeah, like when we were listening through our albums through top 10, we had an app that shows you the lyrics as the song, but I took it away for this, and then we re-listened one more time with the lyrics so we can like immerse ourselves. And it also, we weren't listening with studio headphones like I am now, but when you have those studio headphones and you don't know what's coming, it's so jarring.
But
this is a song that it's interesting to play multiple times, as we do for this podcast, because it has a certain feeling and it's so strong every time, but you get to used to where it is.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to come back to this album as a whole, but this song in like 2-3 months down the road, I feel like, for me. But also, I just want to talk about the song that for me, I don't know the last time I was so affected by a song, because when I first heard it, I was so shocked. Like the whole album had a lot of like, oh, these are dogs barking, or you know, like we've talked about with the Fleet Foxes, oh, you're closing the door, you're walking up, interesting sounds. But when I heard this, I just replayed it 3-4 times, And I showed it to Matilda. I'm like, what is this song? Because there's so much happening. And then they like reveal with the, like, you raped me in the same bed your daughter was born in. After the good morning, yeah. Like from Annie or whatever. And it's just, I haven't been so affected by a song in such a long time. Like having that, what is this? And it's so amazing. Even though this song has a certain story, it's so amazing when you get that feeling.
Yeah.
It's such a real song. Bittersweet, beautiful, and sad. All at the same. It's very life. It's very real, I feel like. So yeah. If I would have to pick, of course, one of the favorite songs, just because of the emotion or like the situation and that occurred, I feel like that's one.
Relevance. Like,
yeah. It's sure. And it has an interesting backstory and stuff. Yeah. Really good song. So we have to go on with songs. So I can probably talk about For Her a lot more. So let's talk about the song Drum Set.
Oh yeah. This is kind of it's hard to put any song after like the last song, but also like, yeah, it's interesting.
It's kind of interesting also if you think about the song before and after For Her.
Yeah.
Like you have a loving song before, and then after you have something that is different but the same.
It's kind of about a breakup.
Yeah, and it's about breakup and also abandonment in a way.
Yeah. So. So.
You have the quote?
Yeah, like. She talks about after Jonathan Ames broke up with her, she was expecting like kind of everybody to break up with her. And like, she was kind of in this mode, like if he don't want to work out things with me, the other like people in the band didn't want to like work out things with me, and her and the band had a little argument and they took some of their instruments away, and she misinterpreted that as they were pissed at her and they weren't going to come back, and that was her sitting there going, oh, nobody loves me.
Yeah, but also like this abandonment and...
Yeah. That's an actual quote from her. Like, she's saying...
Yeah. Oh, you mean
nobody loves me. Uh-huh. It's an actual quote for her.
I thought you were talking about like the drum set is gone and the rug was on.
Yeah, but she explains that there's like that... That was me sitting there going, oh, nobody loves me.
Yeah.
So she kind of picked up the phone after the band left and she started singing into it. The drum set is gone and the rug it was on is still here screaming at me. And that kind of grew into the song and like nothing has really changed like in the lyrics from when she sang it in the phone. So this was what I kind of talking about. This was recorded in one take and it was and Fiona was playing a chair and they were all sitting in a corner of her house. Kind of hear her laughing because Mercy, her dog, comes up and licks her in the face, and it kind of like has this very like, yeah. And this is when I read this kind of like explanation of this song. It was then I started feeling this like homegrown, like home built kind of record that is, and it's. Is a really nice song that kind of reminds you about that. Like, there's things about abandonment in this song, but it's also like
family
in a sense, like about like being together. Because because like since I read this, all I can picture is them sitting in this corner of a room and like just yamming together, which
but,
is.
But it's always like that. A band is your chosen family.
Yeah.
And the whole thing, like, and she with the whole story about like Sebastian saying you're my man in a storm and stuff like that, yeah. or like, whatever. That they have so many stories and memories together, and then her feeling abandoned, but also being together with them, and then. Yeah. Like, yeah, you fucked up, but we forgive you or something. Or like, yeah, we just had a fight. It's fine. People have fights.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, it's a nice sentiment. And it kind of reminds you about how it is in relationships with people, friends, family. Like, sometimes you have fights and sometimes you get... But you get together in that living room and you make some music.
Yeah, and like... I read my notes now and I remember like a word that came to me when I was listening to this is tangible. It's a very tangible song. It's like you kind of really feel like you're there and you can like reach out and touch it.
Touch it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Viking. On I go.
Yeah, on we go. On.
Not toward or away. Up until now, it was day, next day. Up until now, in a rush to prove, but now I am only move to move. On I go, no, da, da, da. I love that lyric. On I go, not toward or away.
Yeah.
God, I love that, yeah.
So do you know where this song comes from?
It comes from Fiona Apple's brain.
Yeah.
500 duh. Points to Gryffindor.
Duh. No, 300 minus points to Gryffindor. Mine is 300 points. Yes. So, do you want me to tell you? Or
yeah.
Apparently.
Tell me.
I'm the storyteller this time.
Oh my god. Oh, the storyteller. Oh, it's so good. Okay, so for people who don't know what the storyteller is, Google Jim Henson's storyteller. It's so good.
Yeah, but stop banging the table.
I'm the editor. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, well.
So, yeah.
Let's do it.
Tell me a story.
So she says in a quote, this was my version of the Vipassana chant that I sang in jail.
The what chant?
The Vipassana chant.
What? What even is that?
Yeah, I tried to find that out.
So you're basically saying this is a chant she made in prison because she was apprehended.
Yeah, but also it's kind of based on like... a chant that I think she heard when she was younger, or like earlier in her life at least.
Okay.
But yeah, she used to sing that during the night, like to calm herself down. And like when she was in the waiting room, she kind of stood up and defiantly sang it towards the camera, which is kind of fun. Yeah, and I mean, like, that's where it come from, pretty much.
Okay, do you want me to tell you a story?
Yeah.
So, I've intercut some quotes here from Fiona Apple, but before we go into it, I just want to say, like, the percussions on this song. I don't know if they're drums or whatever they are, but I really like the percussions. But when it comes to the song, there is some quotes talking about where she talks about like that she just wants to do things because she wants to do them.
Yeah.
And I don't do them for any other reason. But the long quote, which is, I just love this quote. There's no past, there's no present. It's like, oh, stay in the present. It's just basically, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to have fun. And I'm going to decide when I'm going to stop doing it. And I'm going to decide when I start doing it. I'm just going to move to move. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what you think it looks like. It doesn't matter what you think it means or what I think it means. It's just happening. It just is. And that's all right. On I move, not toward or away. Like, and I just love that story in the, what's it called? Lyrics. And on how a person moves. And it kind of works with this. Like I spread like peas or like I climb like peas. And beans, like how your path in life takes you, and everybody's path is their own and they go their own way.
Yeah.
I really like that, and it kind of even this quote kind of takes it back to the whole quote we found and is very prevalent when you search Fiona Apple. But the speech she gave when she accepted her Grammy Award when she was 17, where she basically says, "This is all bullshit. Don't look to us or like the us famous people. Just live your life and don't glorify us." She was 17 in the music industry and saying that while accepting a Grammy. Yeah. And now she's 40 and she's saying this and like, "I'm going to do me. I'm going to do whatever I want. And it doesn't matter how it looks to anybody else. It's just important that I'm doing it."
Yeah.
Sometimes some philosophers say like, you just have to do stuff to know that you're alive. Like, you know, if you pinch yourself, you feel alive. If you drink something or eat something good, you feel alive.
Actually, I got a good quote from her that has like kind of connects to this. And it's and it kind of sums up the album pretty good well. It's, "I made the album and it helped me. I'm over the hump of a lot of things I was dealing with on the album, which means that it was successful, you know."
Yeah. And that's also something I've been wanting to talk to you about when it comes to not only albums, but that's a whole episode about just life. But the short and sweet of it is like, what is successful? Yeah. You know, like, does something have to sell?
No.
And we kind of talked about it with our podcast numbers. You know, for me, successful is just having fun and hoping somebody listens to it. I don't have to be Joe Rogan of podcasts. I wouldn't mind, but I don't have to be.
No.
And it's very good to know that you can be successful in your own way and just hopefully creating or doing what you want to do is being successful. Yeah. Especially if it's something for some people who've dreamed about it. Like, some people have dreamed about, like, I want to start doing art or start doing music. And now with quarantine, some people have like started, "Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this," and follow their dreams. And I think that's one way of just getting successful in their lives.
Yeah, definitely.
The life that is. And speaking about life, I want to ask you your lasting impressions of this album, because I have some lasting impressions. Not only like lasting impressions, but lasting impressions. Like really stay with you. I want to be with you.
I had a hard time like figuring out what my lasting impression was of this album, because it's like, I really like this album.
Yes.
But it's also like, it's hard. Like, I can't see myself listening to this album a lot. Like,
I found a reviewer that said that that they were a big Fiona Apple fan and listened to it. But they said that this album is kind of like a fine wine. You bring it out once or twice, but you don't listen to it all the time.
Yeah,
and I mean, that kind of feeling works with what you're saying.
Yeah, maybe. I can agree with that. Like, yeah, I'm definitely not saying this will be the last time I ever hear this album. That's for sure. And like, it's a great, fantastic album. It's just not like I'm
dying to hear.
I'm not in love with it.
But I get what you mean. Yeah. Like, it has some interesting stuff happening for you, and you like hearing that, but you won't like want to hear it every day.
Yeah.
I think also when you're not a person who knows the stories, maybe it also affects. This is some of the most, according to what I've seen, story driven, like that she talks about the stories and you can get what
the
significance is. Other albums, according to fans on the interwebs, is different.
Yeah.
This album, I really love this album a lot. I may agree that it is a fine wine. I wouldn't listen to this every day.
Yeah.
And not that it takes away the magic, but I feel also that it kind of just embraces, like I said before, like the chaos of what I thought was just 2020, but like the chaos of life.
Definitely.
And that there's so many different feelings. You have sadness, love, hate, and just life being life, because life in all of its magnificent, like, beautifulness that is, life is just chaos. I mean, depending on like how you think we were created, a lot of it is still chaos. Just look around the world with the whole 2020 year we had. That was a lot of chaos, but you can still make life beautiful in chaos. And I feel like the album is really, really works for that. A lot of people said that this album is kind of imperfectly perfect because he has those things that, she didn't cut there, or it wasn't planned like this. And I kind of want to say it's more perfectly imperfect, that because life is more that way. And there's, I just feel like there's very much truth in the album coming from the stories, but also truth that life is what it is.
Yeah, I mean,
I really like this album. I won't probably visit it every day, but I will come back to it like I do some albums. And I really love the way how it is musically. So yeah, I like the album. It was a good album. But speaking about albums, Viking, what are we going to do next? What you got for me? Let's leave the lasting impressions, or else I'm going to be here 4 hours later.
Yeah, exactly. You kind of want to do something for Black History Month.
Yay, it's February. February.
Yeah.
And that is Black History Month. So, and for January, we did our 2020 looking back. But now we're going to do some Black History Month because we've been doing Black Artists Matter. From your idea, of course, and it's been really fun, and I want to open that up for a whole month, or like episodes of us talking about black artists that we want to talk about. And I feel like that it's a very nice way of me getting an extra artist I want to talk about. So it's kind of like a cheat for me, but also an important thing.
Yeah,
also I want to say, here in Sweden, I hope that Black History Month becomes a bigger thing, because here in Sweden is something that has become a little more bigger, and I hope it keeps growing, and especially with all the Black Lives Matter, that's important now. And we get more of this information and history out.
And it was very fitting that you wanted to do something for Black History Month, because I had already planned to pick one of the greatest singers and pianists that have ever walked this earth. So we're gonna talk about Nina Simone. And we're going to talk about Little Girl Blue.
Okay, let's see. Nina Simone. I know that name.
Yeah.
Little Girl Blue. Let's see if I just recognize this album. Oh my God, it's in stereo, Viking. Yeah. Did you know it's in stereo?
Yeah. Actually, it was made in 1958.
Oh, God.
So it was made a while, and it's her debut album.
Ooh, that's going to be interesting. I mean, I feel like Nina Simone, even if you're not a Nina Simone person, has been prevalent in your life somehow.
Yeah, or like
through the radio, movies, TV shows, of course.
Yeah, and like
just significance.
And if you don't know her name, like you probably heard something that either inspired by her or like covered, like a song covered. And yeah, so yeah, she's been around a lot, and yeah, it's gonna be fun to dive into. I've been kind of like been waiting for to dive into her background, because I know some stuff about Nina Simone, but not that much.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be fun to dive deeper into the rabbit hole.
Yeah, same here. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be, the research is gonna be amazing and horrendous at the same time. But that's for us to figure out.
You love me.
Yeah. So if you want to reach us anywhere or follow us anywhere when it comes to our social media, it is The Record Swappers. You just Google The Record Swappers, and we're on every social media that has ever been, will be, or has been invented by me. You haven't heard of
Gab?
Yeah, the Gab, the best website. You just go gab.gab.gab, and it's the best website. Also, if you want to email us, it is at therecordswappers@gmail.com. If you're on any podcast platform where you listen to this, where you are right now, I know your IP number, I know your VPN, I know everything. Please subscribe to that podcast platform. Like it, review it, follow us. Like you can do on iTunes, reviewing helps people go up in charts. And I mean, that should help us.
You probably can, like, if you use your VPN, you can probably review it a couple of times.
It depends on how it works. Sometimes it remembers your web browser. So technically, even not switching VPN, but switching web browsers work.
Yeah.
And also, if you just have a lot of random, you know, emails or, you know, like your friends or your loved ones, just hack into them.
Tell a friend. Tell a family member that likes Nina Simone.
Yeah.
Because you probably have a family member that likes Nina Simone.
Yes. And hopefully you'll join in, listen to all our Black Artist recommends that we will put in the show notes, because that's important to do, especially coming up with our Black History Month. And we'll swap at you with Nina Simone's
Little Girl Blues.
Blue.
I think it's blue. Now you're making me
Christian.
Blue.
Good. We'll swap at you with Nina Simone's Little Girl Blue. So we'll say goodbye for now.
Bye bye.